Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
We'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. At that moment, the record will be set straight according to what you and I have done that is good or that is bad. And it's logical that there will be a day, an hour, a moment in which justice will be established by Almighty God. And this book tells us there will be that day. And we talk about the day of judgment. The day of the Lord is the phrase in the Bible, all the way through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. The day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming when there'll be justice and judgment.
The truth is, we will all be judged, but you can trust in Christ's redemption. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young begins his message, The Final Judgment, and brings you proven truth and why you have hope in the face of what's ahead. Stick around, The Winning Walk is coming right up. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, it may seem like we're living in the end times, but as Christians, we don't need to fear the end of the world as we look to the proven truth of God's Word. Dr. Young wants to help you anchor your confidence in God's promises about the future with his five-message series, End Times. It'll encourage you with the certainty of life after death, the beauty of heaven, and the assurance that Jesus will return for his children. We'll send you a copy of End Times as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Final Judgment.
I invite you to open your Bibles with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter number 5. I'll read verse 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9 and 10. Therefore, we also have our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed, rewarded for the deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. At that moment, the record will be set straight according to what you and I have done that is good or that is bad. Let's prepare for the teaching of the book. Father, we kneel, and I trust that's the posture of our hearts, our lives, our minds. May your truth crash down upon us, and like lightning, may it set fire within us and cause us to leave this place of worship alive for you and your purpose for our lives as never before. May we recall this occasion as that moment in which we met with your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For we pray in His name, amen. I have a good friend whose name is Janet, and she reads a book the strangest way that I've ever heard. She'll take a biography or an autobiography or memoirs or even a work of fiction, and she begins to read the book by turning to the last three pages. Oh, yeah. She reads the last three pages first. And I ask her, "What in the world are you doing?" She says, "Well, if it doesn't have a good ending to the story, I just won't read it." She says, "I'm having a tough time reading with my iPad. It really challenges me." How do you read a story? Well, you start at the end and know how it ends up. We read the Bible. We know the rest of the story. The Bible tells us in Genesis that life began in a garden in Eden. The Bible tells us in Revelation that life ends up in a city, the New Jerusalem. And therefore, we've been talking about eschatology. Big word, it just means the science or the study of last things. We talked about when God brings down the curtain of history and Jesus Christ returns to this earth. And that is the second coming of Jesus Christ. We know he fulfilled all the prophecies in his first coming. And now he will come again, and that will be the signal for time to end. And life as we know it on this earth will never be the same. It is over. It is ended. We know there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, but that is a signal for the end of all time. Now, we study prophecy because we want to know something about what's going to happen in the future, what's really going to take place out there. When I die, or when time comes to an end, or you die and we're here, what is going to happen? And so we're interested in prophecy. Prophecy. Now, sometimes when you have time, look at Revelation chapter number 10. It has a very, very interesting study about prophecy. It's a picture here. Remember, John is writing on the Isle of Patmos. He's inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's speaking the words of Jesus. And in 10, a voice comes and says, an angel comes and hands John a scroll, a book. And he says to the apostle John, "Eat this book." Now, this is apocalyptic language. What's he saying? He's saying, "Take these words of prophecy, John, and eat them, and let them go down in your system and down in your gut and digest them until they are a part of you. You will know how time will come to an ending." And that's what John did. He took that scroll and he ate the book. And in that 10th chapter, it says, John reports that when I put the scroll in my mouth, it was sweet as honey. But he said, when the scroll went down in me, I began to digest that scroll. It was bitter. Quite a picture, isn't it? When you and I begin to study prophecy, end times, when the curtain of history comes down, in the beginning, it is sweet like honey to us. We say, "I have a future that will last forever." And we begin to celebrate what the future is going to be. But before long, that same feeling of celebration, it sort of begins to die down and to be phased out, because we are reminded that everybody we know and love will not be there. We're reminded of regrets we have for the life that we did not live. And therefore, you read in Revelation chapter 21 that God will wipe away every tear in heaven. You say, "Well, I didn't know there was going to be any tears in heaven." If God has to wipe away your tears and my tears, then evidently there's going to be tears, right? Why would we as Christians be crying in heaven? It would be because we would know that there are people we thought should be there, people we knew and loved and cared for on this earth, and they didn't make the cut. They didn't make the team. At the same time, we'll be reminded of what we should have been with the opportunity we had in life, the failures that we make. And God will have to wipe away those tears even in eternity. And therefore, we are studying the second coming of Jesus Christ, and today we are looking at judgment, because the second coming is followed by or simultaneous with judgment. Let me say a word about judgment. First of all, the second coming of Christ is not logical. You ever thought about that? Take a secular person and tell them that Jesus, who died on a cross, was resurrected, ascended to heaven at the right hand of the Father, he's going to come back and live on this earth as King of kings and Lord of lords. That's not logical to the secular mind. Just not logical. And also, the resurrection of your body and my body is not logical to the secular mind. We start off as dust. We go back to dust. That ought to be it. And the idea that God is going to come and Christ is going to come and we're going to be reconstituted and have those resurrected supernatural bodies forever, that's not logical. But let me tell you what is logical. Judgment. Justice. Okay? Built into everybody on the planet is a sense of justice. What is and what ought to be. And we will lament over things great and small when we see injustice, and the idea that there will be a day, an hour, a moment, a season in which everything will be made right. That is logical. We start off with little things. Did any of you see the bowl game when South Carolina played Michigan? And there in the fourth quarter, did you see that Michigan went for a first down on a fourth down call, and they placed the ball down, and if you know anything about football, they brought the sticks out, and they did not make the first down. It was obvious to the watching world. It was short. But the official said, first down. First down. Coach, if I'd have been there, they'd have thrown me out of the stadium. I'm a Gamecock fan. I mean, millions saw it. How in the world? Injustice. Injustice. If you remember some years ago when Hugo Chavez was in Venezuela and Fidel Castro visited him and they had a professional baseball game, and in the middle of the game, Castro came out and wanted a bat. He got an aluminum bat. He went up to the plate, and Chavez, the president or prime minister or whatever he is of Venezuela, he said he wanted to pitch. So in the middle of a professional game in Venezuela, Chavez goes to the mound. He begins to pitch to Castro, the dictator of Cuba. The first ball he pitched rolled over the plate. Castro took the pitch, ball one. And finally, Chavez pitched. They worked to a full count, 3 balls, 2 strikes. Chavez winds up, throws the next pitch, and it goes right over the absolute perfect center of the plate. Bam. The official says, strike 3, you're out. Castro said, no, that wasn't a strike, that was a ball. He put his bat down and walked to first base. Nobody complained. Nobody said a word. You know, he overruled that which was right and that which was acrid. I wanted to cry out for justice. In our world, ladies and gentlemen, we have been victims, most of us, of things that were not right and not fair. We see injustice. How can it be that this life was snuffed out at such an early age? We want justice. How can it be that the corrupt seem to get richer and those who are honest seem to get poor? We cry out for justice. And it's logical that there will be a day, an hour, a moment in which justice will be established by Almighty God. And this book tells us there will be that day. And we talk about the day of judgment. The day of the Lord is the phrase in the Bible. All the way through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. The day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. Well, there'll be justice and judgment. Now, by the way, the word day there doesn't mean a 24-hour period of time. It could be from the birth of Christ to his resurrection, his ascension. It could be a period of time. It could be a period of years. They talk about the hour of Jesus has not come. That hour is not 60 seconds. It can be a scheduled period of time. So don't be limited in the concept there. And we've been talking about last week in our study about the different classical views, biblical views of the second coming of Jesus Christ. You remember? And I went over them and succinctly tried to present them to you and present them to me without coming down on any one position. We talked about amillennialism. In other words, there would be no millennium. The world would get better and better and Jesus would come. We talked about postmillennialism, that after the millennium, 1,000 years reign, then Jesus would come after the fact. We talked about historical premillennialism. We talked about dispensational premillennialism. We pointed out as how you interpret which one is accurate between historical and dispensational. Remember, it's how you look at Israel and how you look at the church. If you miss that, you're not going to heaven. No. If you miss that, I suggest you get the tape and sit and study and look at it. It's a matter of hermeneutics. What is that? It's how you read and interpret and understand the Bible. And the issue there is Israel and the church, how you look at Genesis 15, how you look at Revelation 19, how you read Romans 9, 10, 11. Okay. Now, in all of this, the most popular view is the dispensational premillennialist view. I do not think that means it's necessarily accurate or inaccurate. Most of us believe this because it's taught in many of our schools today, and we've read Tim LaHaye's book, Left Behind, and other novels that picture this particular view of eschatology. Now, having said that, as we move along and understand it, we need to see that in the second coming of Christ, judgment is always connected. And those who are dispensational premillennialists, by the way, if this is foreign talk to you, we'll get over it in a moment. If you are dispensational premillennialist, they see the Bible teaches at least 5 different judgments. Ray Summers teaches this. Others would say, James Montgomery Boyce, there are 7 different judgments. And I want you to look at those 7 judgments. I'm going to hit them rapidly there on the screen. Look at the first one. There will be one judgment, is the judgment seat of Christ. This is for Christians. There's a series of judgments on earth. These are spoken of in Revelation. There's judgment of the beast and the false prophets at the time Satan will be in prison. There's a judgment of the Gentile nations. There's a judgment of Israel. There's a final judgment of Satan. And then there's the great white throne judgment. I personally think there'll not be this many individual judgments, but I believe there will be at least 2 judgments. And most of those who have these millennial views, these views of last things, would tell you the same thing. So let's look at these. I think judgments can be combined under these 2 headings. Follow me? Stay there. First of all, there is a judgment, the great white throne judgment. It is for those who do not believe and those who are not Christians. Look at it with me. It's in Revelation. Found in chapter number 20, verse 11 following. This is the great white throne judgment you've heard about. Christ is on the throne. The throne is white of purity and holiness. This is a judgment of those who did not receive Christ. Here it goes. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in it, the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were, do you see it? Death and Hades were thrown in the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown in the lake of fire. What does this say to us? It is saying that in the great white throne judgment, those who are not Christians, they are there for their justice. This is a time of great justice. And two books were opened. One would be the book of deeds. Did you know everything you and I have done, everything you and I have thought had been written down? Whew, is that scary? It is to me. It's all been written down. And those who are there, they've got plenty of time, by the way. Eternity is, you know, long, last time I checked. So everything that was there is written down. That's the book of deeds. Then there's the book of life. And some of there are there who said, Lord, Lord, but they're not there. And they said, look, you mean my name is not in the book of life? You mean I'm not going to make it? And they said, no, it's not there. And so we see the judgment will take place. Now, the judgment of those who did not receive Christ will not be equal. I don't know exactly what that means. The fire will be hotter. The loneliness will be more lonely. But I can tell you a couple of things in the Bible stands out about those who did not accept Christ. First of all, those who abuse children. Pedophiles, those who exploit children, the Bible teaches will have a special place of punishment and damnation in hell. And that is taught in the scripture. You mark that down. Without Christ, there's no hope. Also, so a special place for those who have my position, or if you teach a Bible study class, and we do not present the whole truth of God, what it means to be a Christian, repentance, reception of Christ, when the cross is left out, and when the Holy Spirit is not mentioned as convicting people of sin, when there is not repentance, when it is not a new life, there is just salvation without lordship. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but salvation in the sense that now we're in the parameters and we seek to live lives pleasing to Him. There's a special place for those who teach heresy and false views of this book. So that is all written in the judgment process. Now, I know somebody here is saying, what about those who've never heard about Jesus? What is God going to do?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
A teacher asked a little girl, what's in your mother's Bible? The girl replied, well, there's two Valentines, a lock of my hair, and a shopping list. Or what about the woman who visits a friend and asks, may I borrow your Bible? When the woman took it off the shelf, it fell open and she noticed something inside. She replied, those are my reading glasses. I haven't seen them in months. I wonder what had happened to them. Listen, what's in your Bible? Do you read it? Have you fallen in love with its author? Is his word truly a light for your feet and a lamp for your path? The Bible contains the blueprint for your life and for my life. Listen, meditate on God's Word. Get into it. And I can tell you something for sure. It'll get into you.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you anchor your confidence in God's promises by sending you Dr. Young's five-message series called End Times. There's a lot of confusion in our world about what the future holds. As Christians, far too often we look for confidence in daily headlines instead of trusting God's promises. Dr. Young's five-message series will help you grow in your assurance of what the Bible says about the future. You'll gain an in-depth understanding of topics such as death, the second coming of Christ, the Great Judgment, and the promise of heaven. We're excited to send you a copy of End Times as thanks for your gift to help keep The Winning Walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young shares more proven truth to help you live every day with eternity in mind.